book I left over there that I was going to preach. I'm going to sort of ad lib, but I do have scripture. And I'm going to give a few people some scripture, and Tony, I'm going to add you to my list. I'm trusting you're a good reader. For Dawn, she's going to read Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 15. Yeah, she's ready. For Greg, he's going to read Genesis 3, verse 6 and 7, and then skip to 16 and 19. And I'll point to you when I want you to read this. Then I need you, Tony, to read Joshua 2, 1, and then you're going to skip to verse 8 and read till 21. You have probably the most to read. Okay. And then I need, well, I think I'll do Ruth and Samuel. And then I need someone to read Luke 1, 1 through 5. Anyone volunteer for that one? CC will do that. And I hope that's the right verse, CC. Okay, before God created the earth, there was heaven. He was in heaven with these angels, and they have these strange names like Seraphim and Diadem. We don't use those words. But they were there in heaven with God, and everything was fine. But he had three key angels that I'm going to speak about just shortly. One was named Michael. And Michael seemed to be the angel who did stuff that God wanted done. Then there was one named Gabriel. And Gabriel, well, if you were a young girl named Mary and Gabriel came to you, you're going to have a baby. Then the last angel I'm going to talk about is Lucifer. We know him today as Satan. And one day Lucifer got in his mind that he was going to rebel against God. And so Don's going to read about the rebellion of God, of Satan.
This is Isaiah 14, verse 12. King of Babylon, bright morning star, you have fallen from heaven. In the past you've conquered nations, but now you have been thrown to the ground. You were determined to climb up to heaven and to place your throne upon the highest stars. You thought you would sit like a king on the mountains in the north where the gods assemble. You said you would climb to the top of the clouds and be like the Almighty. But instead you have been brought down to the deepest part of the world in the dead.
Okay, so here Satan was. And he decides to rebel. And so God cast him down where? To earth. Okay, now there's another one. I forgot to tell you this, the name of my sermon. It is Chaos in Heaven. We just read about that. Chaos on Earth. Greg's going to read Chaos on Earth.
This is 3, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
The woman stared at the fruit. It looked beautiful and tasty. She wanted the wisdom that it would give her, and she ate some of the fruit. Her husband was there with her, so she gave him some to him, and he ate it too. Right away they saw what they had done, and they realized they were naked. Then they sewed fig leaves together to make something to cover themselves.
Okay, then you're going to jump down to 16 through 19.
Then the Lord said to the woman, "You will suffer terribly when you give birth, but you will still desire your husband, and he will rule over you." The Lord said to the man, "You listened to your wife and ate from the fruit from that tree, and so the ground will be under a curse because of what you did. As long as you live, you will have to struggle to grow enough food. Your food will be plants, but the ground will produce thorns and thistles." Is it 3:19? "You will have to sweat and earn a living. You were made out of the soil, and you will once again turn into soil."
Okay, so that was quite a punishment for eating at something that God told them not to. They had everything to eat, and he told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But as Don read, Eve saw it, said, "Wow, this is good looking. Looks like fruit. I wish my garden was like that up in Pagosa," but it's not. Anyway, she ate it. And then she gave some to Adam. And what did they know? They were naked. And then God produced the punishment for them, short term. But it's long term because every one of us here die. That to look forward to, thanks to Adam and Eve. But when this happened, before this happened, back when God was in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he had a conversation because he knew this fall was going to happen. He knew Satan was going to fall. He knew Adam and Eve were going to fall. So he had this conversation between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's one God, three different personalities. But the conversation went something like this, that God the Father was going to stay in heaven with all the angels. God the Son was going to do something miraculous. God the Son created everything we see. I look up in the sky when I'm out in Aspen 6, and it's glorious. God the Son created that. God the Holy Spirit was going to do something even maybe more miraculous, some people believe. He was going to take God the Son, he was going to put him in a virgin. God the Son into a human being. Quite a feat. But that happened. We know it happened. We celebrate Christmas. But because of the fall of Satan and the fall of man, God had to come up with a plan. And part of that plan was the birth of Jesus. Now, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked on the earth. It's been another 6 to 10,000 years between Jesus' birth and the creation of earth. So we're talking about 12,000 years, roughly. Have you seen any of God's plan? God doesn't work with time like we do. God made time for us. We're fragile. Some of us have had to work real long hours, and today we're sitting here sleeping. So God created a 24-hour day for us. Thank goodness. I couldn't imagine trying to work on a 36-hour day. So God took this plan, and he put it in motion. So the first thing he did is he cast Satan down to earth. Now I've heard, and I can't find it anywhere in the Bible, that a third of the angels that were in heaven were cast down here on earth. So as we walk around, Satan somewhere, and a bunch of what we call now demons are walking around. And they harass us. You know they do. We talk about it here at church. You know, we don't say, "Oh, Satan harassed me." We just say, "Oh, we had a bad time last week." Or, "My car broke down." Or whatever. Those things just are not a coincidence. I mean, if we don't take care of our car and we don't put gas in it, yeah, we're going to run out of gas. But Satan has a huge part of our life that we just don't even understand. We don't see it, but it happens. So part of this plan is what I'm going to call the scarlet thread. It came from the fall of Adam and Eve. And there, when the fall was, God talks to Satan. And he makes this statement to Satan. He says, "You're going to bite my heel or bruise my heel, but I'm going to crush your head." So the scarlet thread, it goes from Adam and Eve all the way up to Jesus. If you took a look at Luke chapter 3, if you guys can open your Bibles to that. Luke is in the New Testament. He goes Matthew, Mark, Luke. Where are we? Just chapter 3. If you look there, there's a whole long list of names. And it's sort of backwards. It starts out with this guy named, in my Bible, it says Heli. And in Pastor Mark's Bible, it says Eli. Does anyone know who Eli or Heli was? Most of us don't. But if we put this all together, Eli, or Heli, how we pronounce it, was the father of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So the scarlet thread runs all the way through here. If you go down to the bottom of the list, it starts with Adam, and you have to read backwards, and it goes all the way up to Eli, the father of Mary. Well, God had used this plan from the beginning of time, from Adam. Adam had a son named Seth, and so on, until we get to Noah. Noah had a son. Well, actually, Noah was Methuselah's son. Noah had a son named Shem. And it went on to Abraham. And most of us know the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And then there's a 400-year span where the Israelites are sitting there in Egypt, and then one day God calls Moses. And so the line keeps going. Goes on and on and on until the Israelites come out of Egypt. They're on the march. God tells them there's all these pagan countries out there, cities. I want you to destroy them. So Moses had died. Joshua is now in charge. And he comes to this one town. And God tells him to destroy it. And he does. Completely destroy it. Kills all the people, all the livestock, anything that was living, and tears the town down. There was nothing left. Then there is another town close to it. It had a king named Og. And the Israelites destroy it too. So if you were a city anywhere around where the Israelites were, you're going to have a lot of fear of this God. Because what kind of God did you have? Well, you had a God that you could sit on a shelf in your house. That was called the house God. And if you went back to where Jacob takes his two wives and leaves the land where he was at, and he was going to go back to his home country, his wife, Rachel, wraps up their house god and takes it with her on the camel. So these little house gods were little, and you could just carry them and put them where you want. But then, of course, they have big God. And probably the most vicious God they had was one called Molech. And they've actually found a statue of Molech, because that's all he was. But in his belly was a furnace. And they would get that fire red hot, and they would take their little babies or children, and they would throw in there as a sacrifice to the God. I mean, that we can't even imagine that. A God like that. Because this God was created by hands, human hands, and was solely there by the imagination of its creator. So everything they said this God needed to have done for them, like sacrifice your child, was in the mind of the creator, and they made up all these rules. And these people lived with us. Now I want you to see, you, I think I said you, right? Joshua?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Joshua 1, or Joshua 2, verse 1, and then you're going to skip down to 8, 21. Oh, yeah, you don't have the phone. Yeah, easy.
Okay. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house.
Okay, I'm going to have you stop right there, because okay. I'm going to tell the story for a little bit, and then we're going to get back to that.
Okay.
Okay, so these two spies who go spy out the land, they go to Jericho. In Jericho is a prostitute. Her name is Rahab. Rahab, every day, she went out on the street to strut her stuff. You know, got to have clients. So she went out by the gate where all the travelers came in and out. So one day, she meets these two spies. But she had lived her whole life in fear of Israel. They were out there doing stuff. Now, 40 years earlier, they crossed the Red Sea. She heard about that. More recent, they had destroyed these two cities for the Amorites. Her little tin god, she prayed to, she knew wasn't working, because it had ears that didn't hear, eyes that didn't see, a mouth that didn't speak, and arms and legs that didn't move. Okay, go ahead.
I can read her to tell the story. And it was told to the king of Jericho, and they said, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." And so the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said to the king, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And it happened that the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may yet overtake them."
Okay, so this is where the story gets interesting. She's a prostitute. At night, they lock the gate, just as she said. At dusk, they lock the gate. How are you going to advertise if you're a prostitute? Well, she had a plan. She had been doing this all her life. She had this cord that she hung out her window. Went all the way around. This doesn't quite work. But that was her advertisement. So if you were a young guy and you wanted to make a booty call, yeah, we all know what that is. Well, you went up to this scarlet rope. And you climbed up to her window. and you did your thing. You know, and then the next day, she would let you back down. Okay, continue reading.
Out of two?
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. I got that to do wrong, I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. So she took the men and hid them from the king, and it happened that she... But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road, to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate.
Nighttime, so they shut the gate. Keep going.
Keep going. All right. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed."
Okay, keep going. I told you it's going to be a long one.
Oh, okay. All right. "And since we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did they remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death."
Okay, that's cool. Okay, so the story goes on. So she has the two spies swear that her and her family are not going to be killed when Israel comes up to Jericho. So they tell her, let down this rope, which she let them down that night so they can escape, and leave it hanging. And when we come to Jericho to destroy it, when we see the scarlet cord, we won't hurt anyone in your house. But if they're outside the house, well, they're going to be killed like your neighbors and your friends. So the scarlet cord, which was her calling card of prostitution, became her cord of salvation. This cord is scarlet. Now, Pastor sort of wanted me to elaborate on that. And earlier, much earlier, there had been a time in Israel's history, just before they left Egypt, when all the plagues were done and God was going to do his final plague, which was to kill all the eldest sons of the family, and he did that. Before he did that, he told them, the Israelites, to put blood on their door from the lamb that they had slain, and then they would eat the lamb, and they were to have a hasty meal made out of bitter herbs and unleavened bread. And that night, the death angel came, and when the death angel saw the blood on the doorpost, the death angel passed by, just like when the Israelites came and destroyed Jericho, when they saw the scarlet cord, they left those people inside of the...
Is today not Passover? Today. I think today starts Passover.
So we celebrate Passover around Easter time because Jesus was at the Passover feast, the last meal he had, the Last Supper we call it. I wasn't going there, but I guess I am here. So they celebrated that. They didn't put blood over their doors after the first time, but they did have the sacrificed lamb, the bitter herbs, wine, and unleavened bread. So this was part of it. So all of a sudden in history, God reached down to this very unlikely woman named Rahab, who wasn't an Israelite, who worshipped idols, and he said, I'm going to use you. So that cord that was so much for shame, I'm sure her neighbors didn't like her, became her cord of salvation, not only for her, but for her whole family. We're going to look at another lady, but I guess I better mention, but before I get too far, that Rahab was taken in by the Israelites, and at first she was like kept outside of camp because she was a pagan. They didn't want her to pollute their godly ground. But eventually, after what they call assimilation, they let her and her family and to live with the Israelites. Well, she must have been a beautiful lady because this man marries her, named Salome. Now, what's Rahab have to do with the scarlet thread? Even though she used the scarlet cord, she was part of the scarlet thread. If we read in Matthew, it talks about who Rahab was. Rahab was the mother of Boaz. Boaz. And you guys, well, who's Boaz? Well, that gets us into the next lady. Her name was Ruth. And I'm just going to tell that story. Ruth was a young lady, and she had a husband who was an Israelite. And she lived in Moab, and so her and her husband lived in Moab with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And her husband dies. Naomi's husband dies. So there are two women that live alone in a foreign, well, for Naomi it was a foreign land. And she owns property back in Israel. So she says to her daughter-in-law, I'm going back home. Why don't you go and find yourself a husband so you can worship your idols? Well, there was two daughter-in-laws, and they both had lost husbands. And one daughter-in-law says, yeah, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to find a husband. But one, called Ruth, says to Naomi, no, I want to go with you. And she makes this big statement, where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. Ruth made a decision that day for God. Both Rahab and Ruth made this decision that none of the Israelites had made because they were Jewish by birth. And then they became believers or not. Rahab and Ruth became believers because they saw God in action. They knew that their little gods didn't work. The story goes on. So they get back to where Naomi has her property. and it hasn't been worked in years because she had been gone. And the house was in disarray, and so they clean up the house, and there's no food. Well, in Israel, they had this custom that if you didn't have land and you needed food, you went out to where they were harvesting, and you could do what they called gleaning. So the harvesters would go through, and they would miss stuff. So if you were poor, like a widow, you could go out there and pick up the stuff that they were missing. And she went out and did that. And Ruth came back with some grain. So they had something to eat. And she kept doing this. And one day, the owner of this property that she was gleaning sees her. And she's a very beautiful woman. So he tells his servants, hey, don't clean up all the grain. Leave some for her. So as she's gleaning, there's a lot more grain to be picked up. And she's picking it up. And she comes home and she tells Naomi, hey, the landowner, he wants me to come and only glean from his property. And all this grain. So she keeps going. And then one day Naomi says, you know, you need to get married. And Boaz, he was the one who owned the property, he's single. Here's what you need to do. When he goes to sleep tonight out there on the threshing floor, you need to come and lay by his feet. Strange thing. But again, Israel had a custom that if a woman lay by your feet, that meant she wanted to marry you. So when Boaz woke up in the morning, there she was, and he scoots her out. He didn't want anyone to know that this lady slept at his feet. But she was beautiful.
As a point of reference, Boaz at this point is about 60 years old, or 55 or something.
Yeah, he was
and
old.
Ruth is about
20-ish. 20. Yeah, okay. So there's big age difference. But there's a catch in all of this. Boaz wants to marry her. But Ruth had been married to an Israelite, and he had died. And they had this rule that if you were a widow, then someone in your husband's family was supposed to marry you. Well, Boaz wasn't quite there. He was like one step away. But love finds a way. So he goes to the man who is called the Redeemer and says, you know, are you going to marry Ruth? Good looking woman, yeah. But then Boaz says, if you marry her, then you have to buy Naomi's property. Oh, I don't know if I want to buy all that property. I have too much property now. But Boaz needed to make it official. So he asked the man to come down to like the city square where all the people, all the men. And in front of all the men, again, Boaz asked the Redeemer, do you want to buy the property? He says, no. They had this custom, so he took off his sandal as a witness that he was not going to redeem Naomi's land, therefore he was not going to redeem Ruth. So, Ruth and Boaz were married. They have a son named Obed. Again, custom gets into the middle of all this. The husband she had before didn't have any children. So the child that Ruth was going to have actually belonged to her dead husband. So Obed actually belonged to a dead guy, but had a grandmother living. So Ruth had to take Obed and give to Naomi. And she raised him. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. Now we all know David. King David. Shepherd boy David. Killer of Goliath David. David had probably six wives before he became king, and he kept taking more wives and more wives. Lots of wives. He took one named Abigail, and it says Abigail was gorgeous. But it didn't matter to David, he just kept taking more wives. One night, David was where he shouldn't be. It was the springtime, and he was supposed to be out at war. Seems like they always went to war in the spring after the rain should stop. But David decided he would stay home. And he's out at night walking around on his terrace. And he looks down, and to every man's delight, he sees a woman naked down there taking a bath. Well, a good man would have turned around and walked away. Yeah. This woman was gorgeous. So he sends one of his servants down to where she lives to find out about her. The servant comes back and says, her name is Bathsheba. She's the wife of Uriah, one of your generals in your army. David sends back and says, Bathsheba, come to my house. And she does. And they sleep together. And in the morning, she takes what I call a bath. That she calls it purification. I don't know exactly what all that meant, but she purifies herself and she goes home. So she only did this once. There wasn't a steady path between her house and the palace. So she only did this once. And her husband was away. And she finds herself pregnant. And so she sends to the king. I'm pregnant. So David, he's smart. So he sends to where the troops are fighting. He says, I want Uriah to come home. And so Uriah comes. And the king talks to him, asks him how Joab is doing, the general of all the army. And he says, why don't you just go home and sleep with your wife tonight? Good cover up. Just go home and sleep with your wife. But Uriah was a very good soldier. And in his mind, he said, well, the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent somewhere. The men I'm under, or over, they're sleeping outside. So Uriah sleeps outside the palace on the ground. David heard about this in the morning, and he tells Uriah, spend another night. Then go home to your wife. But again, Uriah doesn't do what David wants. He doesn't go to his wife. So there was no cover-up for this pregnancy. David got very serious. He made the biggest mistake in his whole life. He sent a message with Uriah back to the general of all the armies, which reads something like, put Uriah in the middle of the battle, then have everyone withdraw for him, so surely he's going to be killed. And that's exactly what happened. And then it says, after Bathsheba mourns for her husband, David sends for her and brings her into where he's at, and they get married. I don't know how you explain having 20-some wives and you take on another one, but he did that. The important thing about Bathsheba, I couldn't find anything where she talked. Otherwise, I'd have someone read it. She doesn't talk. But she ends up having a son, and the son's name is Solomon. So we have Rahab, who had a son, who had a son, who had a son, who had a son, and all of these are in the scarlet thread. From the beginning of time to the crucifixion of Jesus. There are two other ladies that I want to talk about.
So I'll
wind this up. The last lady is Mary. And we all know she had Jesus. And he got hung up on the cross. And when he was hanging there on the cross, here Mother Mary was. And there was another lady named Mary. And her name was Mary Magdalene. Now, earlier, Jesus had cast out a bunch of demons out of Mary Magdalene. So they're both looking at the cross. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was sitting there pondering everything that had happened in her son's life. All the angels that came, the wise men, the shepherds, Jesus going out and preaching and healing people. Can you just take a hold of this, Chris? And Mary Magdalene was pondering it. Wondering, you know, he's dead. He's hanging on the cross. Did I make a mistake? Was he something? Was he a fraud? Or was he for real? Who is this Jesus? She was pondering. Well, she decided he was real. Okay, I'm just going to hand you guys passes down. I went and practiced this yesterday. I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm a little bit. Now, we all have a scarlet thread going across our body. The cross was not the end of the scarlet thread. For us, it's the beginning. We all have this scarlet thread. Jesus died for who?
All of us.
All of us. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one son, that whosoever believes in him would have eternal life. So So this thread that was started from the beginning of time comes right down to us. And it's a matter of whether we believe or not. We can grab a hold of that scarlet thread and say, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe he died for my sins. I'm going to trust in him. I have something I'm going to read, just really short. I hope I find it. That a friend of mine wrote, named John. John has a lot of time on his hands. He lives in Sterling, Colorado, like we do during the winter. Gets very cold. And he saw these three letters, ABC, every day for the last 34 years. Just ABC. And it's all about becoming a Christian. And one day he was sitting there in his office, going outside, and he looked at the A and it says to himself, well, we need to admit that we're sinners and we need a Savior. So that's A. B stands for believer. Believe that Jesus did everything God required to save us from our sins. So, admit, believe, the C stands for commit. Commit your life to Jesus. I'm not going to sit here and ask anyone here to do this right now. I would love to. But I've never seen it done in this church. But yet, I see people coming to Jesus here all the time. So I don't know exactly how that works. But I'm going to give you those three things. Admit, believe, and commit. And you can take them home with you. And you can think about them. You can ponder them. And you can do this by yourself. Don't need to come here. Don't need to talk to me. It's something you can do. Now, I'm looking around and I see a lot of Christians. But I have some friends here that aren't. And I have some friends here just recently recommitted their lives. So, this is something we need to do to have life. And this scarlet thread is for all of us. For everyone in the world. But we need to choose Jesus. That's all. And I'm only 12 minutes late.
Yay, good job. Great.
And I'll wind this up.
Literally.
And thank you guys for coming.